One of the most wonderful texts that you can read in this Bible this morning, go to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. I want to preach to you. I'll preach a sermon by the same title, but it will have no semblance, maybe a little, but no real semblance to the sermon I shall preach this morning. I'm going to preach to you on when the restrainer is gone. When the restrainer is gone. Now listen carefully, because I want you to hear who the restrainer is. I want you to hear what happens when he is gone. I want you to understand why he will be removed, why the restrainer will be gone. And then I want you, above all of it, to know what's going to happen on this earth when that restrainer has been removed. Okay? Now, the restrainer is the person of the Holy Ghost, the third member of the triune Godhead. We all remember, we all know, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is no doctrine that is more destructive of a person's life than a doctrine that does not honor God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Any of you that's been taught the doctrine of Jesus only or the oneness doctrine, it really is very false. And the reason it is very false is because it does some tremendous damage to the truth of God's holy word. I learned to read with this book, and I have read it over and over. And everywhere you go, you see the Father, and you see the Son, and you see the Holy Ghost. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now read it together from 2 Thessalonians 2. Chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. Now listen carefully. I want you to hear every word. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The mystery of iniquity, the work of the devil, is in big time operation everywhere, all over the world. He now works, but he's limited because there is a restraining power that holds the devil at a very line of what he's allowed to do. This restraining power of the Holy Ghost against the devil is a truth that starts in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible is full of it. Had it not been for the restraining powers of the Holy Ghost, the devil would have absolutely destroyed this earth and all the people on it long, long, long ago. But because the devil was restrained, he can come up to a certain line. He comes to a certain barrier. Then he has to back off. Then he has to back up. He cannot go over that barrier because the devil is restrained. There is a restrainer that holds him at bay. I'm saying this in three or four ways because I don't want nobody to miss it. Listen to me carefully. The devil is restrained. If he was not restrained, he would have already taken you, Dan, or any one of you in this building, and he would already have you in the grave. He would have you in hell. He would have already destroyed you. His demons would have possessed you long ago. But because he's not allowed to go over a certain limit, God gives you the right to say no to the devil. One of the restraints on the devil is he cannot cross over my will. He cannot cross over my will. He can try to influence my will. And when he influences it like he wants to and gets me talking his talk, then he opens my door to get in. But he can't do that because God won't let him unless I let him. People say the devil did such and such to me. No, you did such and such to you. You allowed the devil to do it, however you want to look at it. So you got to understand, the devil has a restrainer named the Holy Ghost, and he cannot go above it. And I want to read those two verses again so you get them. And now you know what withholdeth or restraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, when that restrainer is taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of the devil, of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now notice. And with all deceivableness, the devil has great deceiving power. That's one right he was given. He was given the right to deceive you if you will let him. And he comes now with a greater deceiving power than ever, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. But upon whom? Upon whom? In them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now that verse is a sermon all by itself. It tells you the devil has no right of way as long as you receive the truth and love it and obey it. But when you do not receive the truth, when you do not do what the truth says do, you open yourself up to the devil. The devil, within the limitations of his power, is able to do anything to you almost he wants if you've rejected the work and will of God. You've put yourself in position for him to do his dark things in your life with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them. Whom? Them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. See, people who don't serve the Lord have two things against them. Number one, the devil has right away because they don't love the truth. Number two, because they don't love the truth, God gives them a delusion. God, actually, when a person rejects God, and I think of a man. I was praying for him this morning. Used to attend this church. Used to be close to God. And I think of how confused and the poor man is in a pitiful condition. He must despise me worse than anybody could possibly. Got an email from him some time ago, and he said, I can't wait until that church on Tuckasegee is destroyed, and I want a service station sitting there where that church is, because I want something on that lot that serves people. You know, just horrible. Now, that kind of attitude, that kind of rejection makes him available. Even God will give him a deluded mind. God will turn that person over to believe junk and to believe trash. God will just give their mind a complete miss. Just utter. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you may be seated if you want to close your Bible. Okay, everybody seated. Keep your Bible open. And I want to do my best to bring you a message that you will never forget. I'm going to try my best. Got a little extra time. Getting started a little early. I want to do my best to get you a message that you'll never forget, that you'll remember every day the rest of your life, and that you will learn some things, like learn some things about loving the Bible. If you don't love the Bible, you have no possibility of becoming strong in the things of God. A person that you cannot teach them and cannot get them to fall in love with the Bible will very likely eventually be deceived and lose their soul. You have little hope for people who will not learn the Bible, and will not learn his truth, and will not become utterly devoted to it. You don't just learn it, you become devoted to it. You become committed to it. Now, please let me try to help you this morning. Satan, the whole existence of the devil, 6,000 years of human history, the devil has never been able to cross the bloodline. The devil has never been able to go over what the restrainer has said. Never. 6,000 years and the devil has been under restraint. The devil has been limited. The devil can only do certain things against you. There are many wicked people out there living for the devil, and yet God has not allowed the devil to completely destroy them. Many times they live a reasonably long life, and sometimes down toward the end, they actually get saved and come to Christ and wonderfully, wonderfully love Him and serve Him them the rest of their life. And so the devil has certainly been restrained in the lives of many people that I know. I know people that I actually wonder, how have they made it this long? I think of one man married to a very sweet girl who has made it for years, years of the most horrible actions and the most diabolical conduct and the sickness moods and feeling. And I say, how has he made it? And there's only one reason, and God has set certain limits. And God has set certain restraints. And God loves the wicked enough that He wants them to be saved. Even the devil knows that God loves the wicked enough that He wants them to be saved. And the devil will do his best to get them destroyed and to turn them aside and to keep them in darkness, to blind their minds and their eyes and their understanding. And it's sick. But yet you can see the mercy of God. How many of you could look at one person after the other this morning and say, there, look at them, and they would be dead were it not for the mercy of God. They would be in hell was it not for the mercy of God. They would have already been destroyed. You've got to understand, the devil has had 6,000 years of being limited. Do you get that? Well, the Holy Ghost said to me last night as I sat in my study praying and waiting on Him, He said, the time is now coming when the devil will no longer be restrained. I'm going to turn him loose on that earth, and no restraints will be upon him. And he'll be able for 7 years to do every mean thing he's always wanted to do. And whoever he sets his desire to destroy, I will put nothing in his way. He will have the power to destroy and to do damage and to make mincemeat and to kill and steal and rob. He will be unrestrained for 7 years. Now, if I didn't know anything else about the devil and the 7 years of the tribulation period but that one thing, I'll tell you one thing. I would say, not by the grace of God will I be here for that. I'm gonna serve my Lord. I'm gonna be ready for that rapture. I'm not gonna let that happen to me, to be on this earth where the devil has free road ride at me and at all I am to do his best to destroy me and to cut me down to his size. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? 7 years of the devil turn loose to make mincemeat out of everybody to whom he chooses. I mean, no restraints upon him. Nothing upon him. If there is one reason for this sermon this morning, it is to show you that period when the devil will be unrestrained. That's my whole purpose in preaching this sermon. If you're listening by internet on a CD or a DVD, I want you to understand, don't dare stop till you hear every word of it, because I'm telling you, if you can understand this period of human history when it will be an absolute releasing of the devil from all restraints, the restrainer will be removed. That's what this text says. The restrainer will be removed. Now, I want to stop a minute. Back up a little bit. I want you to know something about this restrainer. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis, to the very first chapter. Very first chapter, Genesis chapter 1, so that you can get a picture of the biblical setting. You know, you remember me preaching a couple weeks ago about the law of first mention? Any subject in the Bible, you go back to where it's first mentioned, and you've got a picture then that will trace its way all the way through the Bible. And it's a wonderful way to always study the Bible. Well, Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Listen now. The earth was without form. It was void. Nothing. 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 And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now hold it. Don't try to read the next part. Here's an earth that was void and formless. It was in darkness, completely obliterated in darkness. There was no light. There was no nothing. It was a dark chasm. It was a dark, bottomless pit. Not actually a pit, but as a pit. It was absolutely void. It was nothing. It was nothing. But listen what the Bible said. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I mean, all of a sudden, that voidness, that darkness, that emptiness, and suddenly there comes the moving of that third member of the triune God, and he wraps his arms around that darkness. He wraps his waves of grace and love around that voidness. He stretches forth his hands over and about all of this lightlessness, no light anywhere. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So there we have a picture of the Holy Ghost of God that reaches around a dark world, a voidless space, a voidless chasm. He reaches his arms around it, and then the Father speaks, and light suddenly springs upon this void and empty and dark universe. Because the great restrainer had held back the darkness that the Father could produce the light. Isn't that beautiful? Is anybody hearing that? Are you hearing what I'm preaching? The Holy Ghost wrapped his arms around a dark emptiness, a dark nothingness, and held on to it and pushed back the darkness. And the Father said, let there be light. And light sprung forth and covered this whole space on which you and I call the earth. You and I call our world. Is that not a picture of the great restraining presence of the Holy Ghost? You said the Father could have said, just let there be light, and that would have been it. But the Trinity of God always work in harmony. They are partners together. Remember when God made man, he said, let us make man. Let us make man. Did you hear that? Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. Oh, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost has always been the restrainer. All the way back to creation, he restrained the darkness. You know, I want to shout hallelujah when I read something like that. Hallelujah gets a hold of me, and I could take you to many passages, but let me just take you over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 19. To Isaiah 59 and verse 19. And here is an old statesman prophet who knows this whole story, who knows all about this wonderful restrainer. And he gives us this great passage in verse 19. So shall they fear the Lord. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. Okay, listen now. There's a period there. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. That sounds like the devil, don't it? When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Notice the next part. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. For 6,000 years, the devil has moved upon every culture. The devil has moved upon every group of human beings. The devil has moved upon everything that God has done. The devil has moved upon every part of the civilizations of this world and done everything in his power to bring them to darkness and to destroy them. And many times he's been successful because of the hearts of the people and the rebellion of the people and the doubts and fears of the people. But when there was an opportunity of grace, the Spirit of the Lord has lifted up a standard against him and said, "Hold it, devil, that's as far as you can go. Hold it, devil, that's as far as you can go." Now, you got to understand that principle. The Holy Ghost is the restrainer. How many times since I've been saved 63 years ago and 7 months plus some days has the Lord God come to my defense in the middle of a battle? I was telling with the kids the other day, and forgive me, I don't have time for much of these little stories I want to tell, but I was just a young boy, 16, 17 years of age. I'd gotten saved, and I was saved. But boy, could I have some struggles. One day, I was going through it, and I made my way to church. Had to walk, and because had no vehicle to drive, and I got to the church. Every window was locked, and every door in the building was locked, and I couldn't find nowhere to get in that building. And I finally remembered the old stoker furnace down under the building, and there was an entrance way down through a little low place to get in under the church. And I went in and got in there under the church. The furnace was sitting there. I don't remember what I knelt at, probably a stack of coal. I got on my knees and I started praying. "Father God, I'm in a pitch. I can't even find the bottom. I mean, I was reaching up to get the bottom and couldn't find it." And I began to pray. And just a little old kid, you know, just saved. That was all. But I was good and saved. And finally, after a while, the Spirit of the Lord came into that furnace room down under the church. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost moved upon me. I'm telling you, I'll never forget it as long as I live. Just a little kid praying, hungry, needing God. And the Holy Ghost came in. And when I came out from under that church, I could not just reach up and get the bottom. I couldn't even reach down and find the top. I mean, the Holy Ghost of God stirred my soul. Hallelujah. Now, if you've never had an experience like that, you plan you one this week, okay? You find the day when you're the lowest, and you go find you somewhere to pray. And don't get up until the devil is defeated. And I promise you, the Lord will come in like a flood, like a storm, and hold up a standard against the devil and say, "Hold it, devil. This is my property." Now, do you understand the restrainer? How many of you know you need the restrainer tonight? Today, I'm sorry, this morning. How many of you know that you're in a world that's in a mess? You're in a world that is sick to the core. You're in a world that's so full of evil and diabolical mess. You're in a world that's going to hell in a hurry. I'm telling you, same-sex marriage, all kinds of fornication, pornography, you name it. This world is full of that filth, and it's overwhelming. But you've got a restrainer if you've been saved, and he's inside of you. Every saved person has the Holy Spirit with them. But you can be full of the Holy Ghost, and that's what's beautiful, Brother Dylan, when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm here to tell you, a saint of God full of the Holy Ghost is more than a match for the devil. Little old me and little old you is more than a match for the devil. Now, until the rapture, you really are. Oh, do you understand the restrainer now? You understand how much you need him? He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Remember that scripture? He who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. I rejoice this morning. I rejoice this morning. But now, we got to get a picture of what's about to happen. We really have. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I just want to read a verse or two there, because you got to understand something. You've got to understand something, my dearest friend. You got to know what this old earth is facing. You've got to understand it. It is extremely important that you do. Go to Matthew 24, verse 21. And here's what he says. But then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Such shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. And this is Jesus telling us about these 7 years that I'm talking about. This is Jesus telling us that tribulation is coming like you ain't never heard of. Tribulation is coming like you ain't never seen. He says all 6,000 years, well, 4,000 at that point, but now 6,000 years of human history and never been nothing like it. I'm telling you, there's never been nothing like it. There's never been any kind of tribulation like it's going to come during that great tribulation. And he says, not only has there never been anything like it, but there will never be anything after it. This is a period unprecedented. It is a time completely misunderstood. People do all kinds of things with the 7 years of the tribulation period. Most people can't even stand the teaching of the 7 years of the tribulation period because it is really a mystery. The mystery of iniquity will be so revealed and manifest. And Jesus didn't describe the whole bit of it. He just told us it was coming. Now, this morning, or last night, I'm sorry, as the Holy Ghost dealt with me in my study, one thing after the other, the Holy Ghost showed me that would happen during this period. Now, I don't have a scripture for everything I'm going to show you, but I think I have a precedence for it. And if I don't, and you don't believe a little something that I say, don't make an issue out of it. I'm not going to tell you I'm always perfect. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And I'm not at that point of perfection yet. I'm still just an old man of God, loving him with all my heart. And I know sometimes I get so excited, I may go a little bit over. But I promise you, I don't ever intend to come under. Is that okay? Now, let me talk about things that's going to occur. Number one, you remember, I've already said it. The devil will have a period of time when he's unrestrained. He will come down, be cast out of heaven, midair, down to this earth, and he will have unrestrained powers to do what he pleases during that 7 years. If you get left and you don't go in that rapture, in your heart, you can believe Christ. In your heart, you can call on the Lord and be saved and be forgiven of your sins. If you've not crossed the line, if you've not blasphemed the Holy Ghost, if he's not given you a spirit of delusion, there will be a lot of people who get saved. But I want to tell you something. When they get saved, they own their own. I'm here to tell you, they will be fighting the devil in the best of their abilities and running for their life. And they will be begging for mercy of the devil. The devil don't have no mercy. But I promise you, people will be begging him for some. It's going to be a hellish time. It's going to be an unrestrained period. And you better tell your loved ones who are not ready for the rapture, you may just think that you're big enough to stand up to the devil when that time comes. But if you can't stand up to him now, how do you think you're going to stand up to him then? I'm telling you, it's going to be hell on earth. Oh, I've preached that so many times, and so few people seem to hear it. But let's go a little further. The devil has been called the angel of light because he has a facade in which he operates within. He has a religious kind of air that he operates from. He has a kind of look, a look of an angel of light, beaming light. Well, I want to tell you something the Holy Ghost said to my heart. The moment that rapture takes place and he's cast out of heaven, he'll never be looked upon as an angel of light again. That facade will be stripped from him. That facade will be gone, and he will be seen as the very evil, ingenuous, pitiful, wretched dark devil that he really is. And he will be seen for what he is during those 7 years. It will be a very deceiving sight. He will present himself as though he is the God. But he will absolutely no longer carry the facade of an angel of light. Oh no, that's over. That facade's gone. God cast him out to the earth. He's no longer the prince of the power of the air. He no longer can go up to God and plead a cause against you. He has no power for that any longer. He is limited to the earth to destroy everything on the face of the earth. Do you get the picture? So no longer, my opinion, no longer, he'll be called the angel of light. Now, spiritual wickedness will fall upon this earth like a blanket. Spiritual wickedness will cover this planet earth like a blanket. Homosexuality will be the order of the day. Homosexuality, sodomy, dark, devilish living will become the force of the world. It will probably be against the law for a man and woman to get married, because the normal marriage will be sodomites. Men and men, women and women. It will be a day of such darkness and evil. It will be blanketed. Such as has never been, Jesus said. No, nor ever shall be. All events, every celebration, every activity, everything going on in the political arena, everything going on in the academic arena, everything going on in all the different forces of the world, they will all become evil to the core. But saints of God, it's almost there now. I saw a picture of the day. I went to a meeting up at First Baptist on Thursday, and a dear brother from Washington, who's with an organization for the family and the church, and trying to awake people across America to get involved in the political arena. And he spoke to us, and oh, he was absolutely dynamic. He was wonderful. I told him when he sat down, I said, "Brother, you've got to be a Pentecostal." He said, I'm a Baptocostal, and big old smile, and he had a sweet anointing about him. I was thrilled just to meet him, and he showed us pictures. The Department of Education in America is already using the rainbow colors as one of their symbols. The Education Department of the United States of America using the homosexual colors as a symbol of their position and their commitment. You better believe they're committed to every teacher teaching that sodomy is an ordinary and normal way of life. They're determined to teach every boy and girl who wants to think they are a girl instead of a boy, or a boy instead of a girl, will have the right to go to the bathroom of their choice. Already it's happening all over America. The other day, there was a suit by a judge against a school district that had sued the school because they wouldn't let the little boy go in the girl's bathroom because he said he was a little girl way down inside of himself somewhere. And they sued the school district, and the judge gave them $5 million against the school. It's going everywhere. I'm going to be showing you some pictures of this junk. It's all you say, Brother Chambers, how's it going to get worse than it is? I don't know, but it's going to. I don't know how to tell you, but I can tell you it's coming like a storm. Every celebration, every organization, every entity allowed, everybody serving in whatever capacity that relates to government, most corporations will join right in. And if you don't accept the homosexual factors of life, and sodomy is normal, you are an enemy to the state. And you're going to be in trouble. Now, if that is already happening, what do you think is going to happen after Jesus comes and the devil is utterly and totally and absolutely restrained? Everything. And what's sad is, here's a person, and they have a good job, and they've got 3 kids at home, and they're making a decent living, and all of a sudden they have to take a stand either for or against same-sex marriage, and they refuse to bow, they refuse to bend, they hold on to their conviction, they lose their job, there's no place to get a job, anywhere you go looking for a job, they already know what you've done, you're marked, you're hopeless, and that's happening all over America. That man who ran pastry to make cakes and all for weddings, and he refused to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. He's now riding the back of a garbage truck picking up garbage. And he had a successful bakery business before he took a stand and refused to make a cake. Refused to make a cake. Somebody the other day, I won't tell who this is, told me about a preacher who got in the pulpit and said, I think he ought to have just made a cake and give it to them. Well, then you're partakers of their evil deeds, and you'd be just as much evil as they are. You don't participate in that kind of thing. You don't play a footsie with that kind of thing. You don't be a pushover in that kind of thing. You stand up. How many are willing to stand up in the face of all this? Let me see your hand. I'm going to raise it way up high. Are you really willing to stand up? Are you really willing to be counted? Are you really willing to be a man, woman of conviction and not bow, bend, or burn? Oh, you haven't heard nothing yet now. You hang on. Reach, get a hold of something to hold yourself steady, will you? Please, please, get a hold of something to hold yourself steady. Satan's paranormal powers will begin to produce things, displays of fireworks. Did you know the Bible said they will cast fire down, call fire down from the heavens? Did you know the Bible says that of the Antichrist? Did you know that? The Bible says he'll do miracles and signs. Let me take you to the book of Revelation a minute and just read you just a little bit here of what the Bible says about the Antichrist and what he's going to do in that evil period of time. I mean, it's really overwhelming. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man could buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. I mean, you're talking about power to do some incredible things. You're talking about such supernatural things, supernatural events, all kinds of spectacular kind of things that the devil and his Antichrist and the false prophet, they're using because they got to get you to worship them. Here's what scares me. How many people do you know who rejected the old-fashioned truth of the Bible, who've turned away from Bible holiness, who've turned away from the Pentecostal blessing, at the Pentecostal experience? I mean, most of the Pentecostal church is deader than the Baptist was a few years ago when Pentecostals was on fire. At least we thought they were. But the churches are spiritually dead. There's very little move of the Holy Ghost. Church is just, if it's anything, it's an emotional sing fest or something beside the mighty movement and power of the Holy Ghost. The devil is out to destroy. He's out to destroy. But that's not all he's going to do. I mean, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Now listen. Angels. I'm not talking about good angels. Fallen angels. You know that every demon is a fallen angel, don't you? How many of you know that every demon is a fallen angel? How many of you know that every demon, a fallen angel, has the paranormal abilities that the devil has given him? He could take on the form of a man or the form of a woman. A fallen angel, a demon, can do all kinds of things. Well, here's what they did in the days of Noah. These angels went into women and got them pregnant. And they had children by them. But they were not ordinary children. They were hybrids. You could call them by different names, but they were hybrids. They had no soul. They were the result of a demon impregnating a woman. And they produced these hybrids. These hybrids. I'm here to tell you something. That's going to become a big thing in this 7-year tribulation period. Just like it was in the days of Noah. That's what the Bible says. So the precedence is all set. And I can just see the news. You know how the news now is championing these transgender children? This little girl who says, I'm a boy. And they're championing them. You'll see them on television. They're championing the right to go into the girl's bathroom just like the little girls do. and they're fighting for that cause, and the media is making a parade out of them. Well, you wait till they're making parades out of these hybrid children. You wait till everything that they are doing is exalting the most diabolical and the cheapest and the most evil and the most wicked thing you could imagine. How many understand what I'm saying? Could I see your hands? Raise it way up high. Am I losing you? Am I losing you? You say, Brother Chambers, I don't like to hear things like this. I don't like to say things like this. But I want you to know something. We better be telling this world what's about to happen. We better be telling them what's about to take place. We better be telling them how filth. You know, I could tell you things that you wouldn't want me to, and I don't want to, and I'm not going to. But when I was fighting the battle with pornography, that was in the 80s. We're talking about 30 years ago. When I was fighting that battle, I would take some good friend, brother, and we'd go in the worst pornography shops in Charlotte, and we'd go in there to get a picture and to tell it to the media, and we did exposés to the law enforcement, we did exposés to the police and to the attorney generals, to everybody we could, and showed them why we had to clean North Carolina up of those 700 adult bookstores. And by the way, we did succeed in doing it, but we didn't do it without going in there and literally pulling out the filthiest stuff you could imagine and showing it to them. I remember going home, getting in my bedroom, getting in my closet, and praying until the Holy Ghost would clean my mind up of what I'd had to go visit. And he kept me pure doing all of that. He would sanctify my mind after I would go in some of the sleaziest places. I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. And it was terrible 30 years ago. What do you think it's going to be when the restrainer is gone and when the saints of God are out of here, when there's no more Holy Ghost filled preachers, nobody, no more great singers singing the great songs of Zion? What do you think it's going to be when this whole world is baptized into this kind of filth until everything imaginable is acceptable? Somebody raise a hand. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, help me to help my friends get out of here. Help me to help my family get out of here. I said to a precious member of my family yesterday, when this young man and I were speaking alone, I said, son, do you understand? Popo don't have not even one of his grandchildren serving the Lord right now. And I said it with love in my heart for this person. And they heard me. I knew they heard me, but I get to thinking of them being here for what's coming, and it almost makes me insane in my own mind. I can hardly imagine it. And it, you're talking about something that could start tomorrow. We're not talking about something way down the road 100 years from now. We're talking about something that's right on top of us. You can see it everywhere you look. You can see it everything you see. And I'm telling you things, and I really haven't told you nothing that I don't think's already going on. I think already demons are having sex with women and producing hybrids. And as soon as they are available for some newscast to raise up as a token of this new generation. I mean, the preachers. Read a little bit of a man that was so big a few months ago named Todd Bentley. You ought to read some of his stuff and what he believed and what he said and the stuff he was championing. It's already so far beyond anything the average one of us even know about. And yet, all restraint will be removed. And the devil will have freedom to do what it pleases. I mean, the Holy Ghost kept showing me these things last night until I felt like I could not handle no more. And I knew some of it I couldn't even get up here and talk to you about. But I know it's real. I mean, the Holy Ghost is not out to paint some picture that don't exist. And my Bible says that God does nothing until he first shows it to his prophets, his servants. How many of you do that? God says he does nothing until he reveals it to his prophets, his servants. What God's revealing to Brother Chambers, don't add an ounce of glory for me. I don't want none. It ain't even easy. It ain't even enjoyable. In fact, it's overwhelming. But I'm here to tell you, that restrainer will soon be gone. That restrainer, he's holding it back right now. Oh, there's demons that want every one of you. There's devils. The devil will take you back to that drug addiction, Joe. Joe, he'll take you back. But you're the one stop. You're the one barrier. God will help you. God will stand with you. But he's got to have you willing to stand. And he's got to have every one of you willing to stand. And if you aren't courageous enough to be everything God wants you to be, and if you won't stand tall and be a prayer warrior and be full of the word of God, you can be in trouble. I'm here to tell you, there will be people who will bow and worship the devil that you would have never thought would have worshiped the devil. You just look into that 7-year tribulation period. And you take some of the people you know who right now live in utter rebellion, and you can't get through to them with nothing you try. You can love them and be gentle to them, and they'll hate you back for it. And those kind of people, before you know it. Oh, I've been thinking the God that Joe Chambers preached was the real God. Believe, I finally found the real God. He'll fall down and worship the devil and not know what he's doing or not know what she's doing. I'm here to tell you, we're there. We're so close. God didn't reveal these kind of things to me to make me feel healthy or to make me feel fancy. Because I'm here to tell you, it don't make me feel none of that. I'm broken by what this world is facing. I am concerned that somehow, by the grace of God, you wait till preachers are deeply, I'm talking about the Antichrist preachers, and they're deeply involved in sodomy. If you knew right now how many preachers in America are involved in sodomy, it would make you absolutely sick on your stomach. It would. I read the stuff. I listen to these people like that speaker on Thursday, and they blew my mind. You got to be kidding. That's already going on. Are you kidding me? That's already going on. How many of you, when you get in the news, you feel that a little bit? Like, hey, is that already going on? How many of you understand what's going on right now in the education department of America? How many of you know what's going on? How many of you know what's going on, what they're promoting, what they're involved in? How many of you understand what the church is doing? Study the Rick Joyners a little bit. I had a call of the day. The precious mother said, Brother Chambers, please help me. My daughter has got involved in Rick Warren, and now she's having dreams, and she's having experiences where she goes up and goes up into the heavens. Say what they call that, astral projection. Astral projection. And she gets projected up into the astral, up into the in the atmosphere. And she goes up there and she meets with Paul and she meets with James and she meets with these great servants of God. And they tell her how great she is for learning the new theology and for making a change in her. I mean, this is real. Just happened to me a few days ago. And that mother tells me of all her daughter is experiencing when she does these astral projections. And when she comes back and tell her, and she says, honey, don't you understand? That's the devil. That's not God. That's not the things of the Lord. It's happening all over the church world. But Jesus is coming. Amen. And he's coming after the pure in heart. He's coming after those who've been washed in the blood. Those who are totally given to Christ. Man, I've already gone over time here. Listen to me. He's coming. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, the King is coming. I don't know exactly the point of the rapture. I just know it's any moment. Any moment. And I know when he comes, the devil is cast out of heaven to the earth. I mean, the devil literally is cast down to the earth. Turn loose. Have yourself the fling of your life, devil, 7 years. But then Jesus is coming back on that white horse. And the sword will go forth out of the mouth. That's the word of God. And destroy him. But 7 years. He'll do so much damage. He'll take, you've got loved ones. I guarantee you. There are people in this building who have loved ones that will be worshiping the devil within a few months after the devil is turned loose. And if we don't do something about it. See, this sermon has got to be given to people. It's got to be put in people's hands. I plan to promote it big time on Facebook tomorrow. I plan to tell them exactly what I'm telling you. I plan to do my best to let this world know we are there, friend. We are there. If you're ready to go with Jesus and you're determined, are you ready to get determined? If you're not determined, but you're ready to get determined, either way, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Are you ready? Are you determined? Hold your hand up. Stand up and hold your hand up. I mean, I'm not going to play no games with nobody here this morning now. I've got to be honest. I got to be plain to you. I got to be plain to you. If you want to know that you're ready to go, I want you to stand it up right now, quickly, in the name of the Lord. I want you to understand, you are obligated. I'm telling you, you're obligated to take everything I preached this morning and to tell it to people you know. You're obligated to get in the middle of this glorious gospel and be a soul winner. You're obligated to get these truths in your mind and your understanding. And don't go off half prepared. Learn these scriptures. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read the book of Revelation chapter 13. Read these great passages and see how the devil is going to call fire down from heaven. How the devil is going to do things that appear to be supernatural. They can only be paranormal, but he can make them look supernatural. You understand that? So the devil is never supernatural, but he is paranormal. That means he goes and does things far beyond you. He can take the atmosphere of this world. He can take just the plain old physical things of this earth and use them for incredible stuff. And you better help get people prepared. Now, the one assurance, beyond all assurances, that you are going to be protected and that you're not going to be here is the love of the truth that saves. How much do you love the Bible this morning? How deeply are you involved, Dan, in studying and digging in this old holy book? How much of these kind of great truths have you put yourself involved in learning and studying and digging so that you can help others? Where are the preachers that will preach? Where are they that will preach these kind of truths? God help us. Okay, raise your hand and help me pray, will you? Heavenly Father, I want you close up your head, please. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I want us to sing that in just a moment, but I want you to pray. I want you to lift your hand up and pray. Father, get my people ready. Get this congregation ready. These visitors here this morning, don't let them take this service light. I don't know where they go to church or if they go to church, but they need to be in a Holy Ghost-filled church where the restrainer is at work, getting them ready to go when Jesus comes. I don't want anybody to leave here and miss the rapture. I want you to get so dedicated and so committed to the ways of God. If you're not saved, this altar is where you need to be quickly. Quickly, I'm coming to Christ. I've got to be born again. I've got to know I'm a new creature. I got to know I'm ready to meet. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody help me pray, will you? Pray, church, pray. Sing for me, Yvette, if you would. Just as I am, all the saints are praying.
Just as I am,
Oh, Holy Ghost, I feel your sweet presence. Hallelujah.
But
thy blood. Rest for thee, my self. Shed for me. That thou
bidst.
Father, help me. Weeping for sinners. Weeping for lost souls. Help me, Lord. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Now, just a moment, Yvette. Anybody in this building who would say, I'm not saved, or I don't know I'm saved, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, or I don't know I'm saved. Anybody? I don't know I'm saved. One man said to me a while ago, I think I'm saved. Well, I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to know.